Greetings and welcome to the AVOD. I'm Count Vargelon.
I am D, speaking from her diaphragm.
Because?
I'm using a crappy microphone.
Ah, I see. So, welcome to the AVOD. We're going to be covering some hilarious movies this week. Oh my god, you don't even know. Including one rare movie that can only be found on the internet. And not in the good way, like they're passionate people who want to self-distribute, but in the bad way, like no one finished making the movie and someone who had a work pinch just threw it onto the internet because they don't care.
You just kind of ruined it.
Well, it's the first movie we're going to discuss, that's, so.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, you're okay.
It was going to get ruined in 3 minutes anyway.
But first.
Absolutely.
Some random crap. We have terrible sound, apparently. We just found this out.
Yeah. Turns out our fan has been complaining about our sound behind our back.
Well, we're sorry.
We apologize. If you'd like to help us out with the sound, you need only to, I guess, send us money for better equipment. Is that how they could help most effectively?
Yes. Money always helps.
I've heard that about money. I've definitely heard that about money. So, do we have any random crap this week, Dive Mistress?
Yes. Well, that was some random crap. Here's some more.
Oh.
The new Batman trailer and poster were released this week.
Are they badass?
Well, the poster's actually pretty good. I quite like it.
Is that the city crumbling from an earthquake poster?
Yes.
Ah, yeah, that was a good-looking poster.
Good-looking poster. The trailer... Everyone was kind of like falling all over themselves to say how great they thought the trailer was. Not impressed.
Okay.
Because it's a lot of flashback from the first two movies.
Oh.
And then just baby eyes. What's his face? Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. That was a weird thing to call him. Continue.
Lying in a hospital bed, speaking to... Bruce Wayne.
Wow.
And, you know, talking about how he felt abandoned or some shit. I don't know. And now, like, Batman needs to come back. And Bruce Wayne's like, maybe Batman doesn't want to come back or something along those lines. It's just like, really? Really?
We can expect some more whining from Batman this time around.
So I wasn't at all taken with the trailer. And then you get, like, you know, just a split second of Bane in shadow.
Oh, okay.
And I only know that it's Bane because I know Bane is in the movie.
Did he even have tubes attached to his head?
No, he's just a big muscly guy.
Oh. Because the tubes attached to the back of his head are kind of his trademark.
Well, I mean, again, you just see him for a split second.
Oh, okay.
So I am impressed with the Batman poster, unimpressed with the Batman trailer.
Okay. So a wide variety of reactions from the Dive Mistress this week.
Well, no, just two different reactions.
Yeah, but they're as widely varied as they can get.
They're opposite reactions.
That's my point. Wild variances. Anyway.
I don't think that any... You know what? Why don't you share with us your random crap?
There was another week of Torchwood, and it was equally as bad as last week's Torchwood.
Are you going to keep watching?
I am going to keep watching because I'm now doing a feature for Here Are the Stupid Things That Happened on this week's Torchwood.
Oh, God.
Yeah, shush. But anyway, it was slightly better because they finally found a downside to the immortality to complain about, which is everyone's still aging.
Okay.
So, yeah, that would suck then. If everyone is still aging, unkillability is going to be a problem because you're going to have to start dumping people into the middle of the ocean. And that's just not a happy ending for anybody.
Unkillability?
Well, what would you call it?
No.
All right.
I don't know if I come up with unkillability, though.
I like words that sound awesome. I think beyond that, do I need an explanation? But anyway, no, so I have another post, check it out, it was very fun. It's thuddingly obvious in a way that it almost feels like Russell Davies. If someone told me that this whole thing was being written partially to insult the Americans You know, I would kind of believe them because it's that bad and that stupid and that overexplained.
Okay.
Where it's like, it feels like some American executive said, no, nobody's going to understand that. You have to make it easier. And he's like, oh, they want easier? It's just going to be the dumbest show on television.
Well, you're not the only one to complain about Torchwood. I've seen it elsewhere that people are really
disappointed.
Disappointed, unimpressed with
it. Yeah. Okay, good. I was worried I was the only one because it is really bad.
No, I think you're in good company.
Oh, thank God. Because, you know, there's nothing that's more important to me than what other people think of fiction.
Jesus.
I know, that was pretty bad. Even for me. Even for me, that one was pretty bad. All right. Okay. Let's move on then. Now that I've found out that I am not alone in abominating the new Torchwood.
Yeah.
I think we can move on to something we both abominated. is that
fair? That's not even a verb.
I know. Well, it's actually a reference to something, so I'm going to keep doing it. Sorry.
Oh, maybe you should stop.
I know I should, but I can't.
Let's talk about the movie.
Let's, absolutely. So the movie I so eloquently teased.
Yes, Grizzly 2.
Yeah.
Also known as Predator the Concert. Even for that. Okay. Like the cat said, Grizzly 2 is a sequel to the film Grizzly that was never actually finished. I think it hit the internet in 2007, the work print. I think, if I've got my dates right. And so this is what we watched this week. Our theme is sequels to movies that we haven't seen. Neither of us have seen Grizzly, obviously. So we sat down and watched Grizzly 2.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah.
An enormous grizzly bear is cutting a swath through a national park, killing everyone she encounters. To make matters worse, she's headed straight for a rock concert where thousands of potential victims are rocking out to the best 1987 synth pop this film's budget could afford. That's it. That's
all the synopsis you feel this film deserves?
Well, that's kind of all that happens.
That's true.
Massive grizzly bear just kills everybody, and then there's a concert.
Yeah, and there's a lot of that concert on display.
There is.
Oh my God, I was not expecting the amount of that concert I was going to see in the movie.
It's weird because I'm watching it and I'm like, I'm oddly impressed with, I guess not how good the concert parts are, but how big the concert.
Yeah, like it seems the first half of the movie, I'm like, is the reason they never finished this movie because they couldn't afford to mount the actual concert? And so that's why they're only showing us rehearsal footage. But yeah. No, like, then there's an actual concert going on.
Yeah, so it's just, I don't know why the film was never finished. I guess it was filmed in Hungary, apparently, and then for whatever reason, the production pulled out of Hungary.
Oh.
And that was the end of the movie. Some other weird things, I think, was it George Clooney?
Yep.
Is supposed to be in this movie somewhere?
He is in the movie. He's the teen who gets killed.
There are three teens who get killed.
Yeah, and one of them was George Clooney. He and his girlfriend are in a sleeping bag, and then they get mauled by a grizzly.
That was George Clooney?
That was George Clooney. You didn't recognize
him? Oh, my God, I couldn't even tell.
Well, okay, the video quality was very poor, but that was George Clooney.
And then it was Martin Sheen?
Martin Sheen was in this?
Or Charlie Sheen.
I did not see Martin or Charlie Sheen. So.
I'm sure there's a Sheen in there somewhere.
Oh, well, I saw a Clooney. I didn't see a Sheen. But more importantly, I was very excited to see a John Rhys-Davies.
Yes! As a French-Canadian.
Who pretends to be an
Native.
I know. Oh, I was so happy with that sequence. I can't even tell you. So unexpected, because there's this character, and I think I have to explain this, because who the hell is ever going to watch this movie? The trappers, the poachers, want to catch themselves a super grizzly, understandably, who they are immediately sure will be worth $100,000. I don't know why they think that, but They're just 100% sure it is going to be worth $100,000.
Well, it's their business to know this stuff.
Yeah, but no one's ever seen a grizzly this big.
Well, they're poachers. Then they've bagged other large grizzly bears.
Oh, okay, but anyway, moving on. So they're like, there's only one way we're going to catch this grizzly. We need the best grizzly hunter in the world, this French-Canadian who's gone native and talks like an Indian now. And we're like, okay. And then the ranger, when he finds out about the grizzly, also thinks they have to bring this guy in. So both the heroes and the villains of the movie have talked about how great this guy, building him up, and then suddenly he shows up, and it's John Rhys Davies! Doing a hilarious accent!
Yeah.
Oh, I love the accent he did in this movie. Oh,
and he also, and never mind the fact, in spite of all the build-up, he fails to catch the grizzly bear.
Although he does, there is an unintentionally hilarious sequence, because while most of this film is edited together, I mean, the film isn't finished, so it's not color corrected. It doesn't look like a movie. It looks like raw footage. But, I mean, it is largely I'd say for the most part, the order the scenes would have gone and the scenes have been cut in the proper way. But then the end of the movie happens, and it's literally just, here is all the footage we shot for the end of the movie. In no particular order. And numerous takes of some sequences.
Yeah, because they didn't... Yeah, I guess they sort of ended the film, but hadn't, because he dies, and then he's not dead, and then there's more action with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of John Rhys Davies running around, getting into trouble.
Yes. And then you finally see the bear at the end, too. Because that's the other thing. They hadn't filmed all the insert stuff with the bear.
Yeah, I had guessed that they ran out of money.
In the movie until it dies at the end.
Although, to be fair, there's two things I really loved. One, watching John Rhys Davies awkwardly lasso just like a big wall of fur. That was just amazing.
And then climb up it.
And then climb up and start stabbing this just wall of fur.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and it's so weird to see a movie about a giant grizzly where none of the effects were ever finished. Oh, Grizzly 2, The Predator, or Predator the Concert?
Predator the Concert.
Yeah, although they do try to get a little Captain Ahab, you know, quasi-motivation. Are these guys evil for killing grizzlies? Well, John Rhys Davies' entire family was murdered by a grizzly, so... You know, grizzlies aren't innocent in this either, guys. It's,
well, yeah, because you've got the bear specialist.
Yeah.
Doesn't want
really to loves grizzlies.
Yeah. She
honestly, with her love of grizzlies, I kept thinking about Grizzly Man and how poorly that worked out for the Grizzly Man. And I was just hoping this didn't turn out as poorly for her.
Right.
Which, you know, it doesn't. She turns out okay. She's the heroine of the movie. They're not going to kill her off. This isn't a French film. So yeah, I did enjoy that though, that she was really almost naively pro grizzly.
Yeah, but then very suddenly she switches sides.
Oh yeah, I mean, she switches sides when it becomes clear that the grizzly has decided to attack an entire concert.
Yeah.
Which, if there's a time to switch sides, yeah, that's the time.
That'd be it.
And I gotta say, while I could not be impressed by the big finale because none of it was successfully shot, I will say that the final image of the movie, a giant grizzly bear having fallen through the wall of a stage and gotten electrocuted on a lighting grid, I kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then the people at the concert are like, is this part of the show?
Because they weren't aware that people were fighting a grizzly backstage while a new wave rocker played the same song over and over again.
No, he plays, to his credit, he plays that song twice, and there's a third song.
There is a third song, yeah. I just wanted to find it odd that he comes back, and I guess he comes back to his big hit, I guess, for an encore before leaving.
I was trying to look up who those performers were, because there's that guy, his character's name is Barry.
Yeah.
And then there's what I can only describe as the 1987 version of the Spice Girls.
I know! I was going to ask you who those were.
I don't know who that was.
They were terrible.
Oh, but so awesome at the same time.
No, they were awesome. I'm not going to deny that they were awesome, but they were also terrible.
Yes.
Oh, God, that song was horrible, and it stuck in my head the rest of the night.
I'll dig a little deeper and see if I can find out.
Yeah.
But
like, when I love that when the horrible song ends, the stage manager actually says, okay, let's run through it again and try to do better this time.
Yeah.
Like, was the guy editing this and doing the Foley work? Wow, that song sucked, and the movie needs to comment on that fact.
Maybe, yes.
Maybe that's what happened.
Throw it in there, yeah.
Oh, that was just so questionable.
So, I think that's all I really have to say about Grizzly 2.
Oh, okay. The one last thing I want to say is you can say a lot of crap about Grizzly 2, but what you can't say is that you can never say that John Rhys-Davies phones it in. That man never phones it in.
No, he really...
He gives it his all in this preposterous performance.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Speaking of preposterous performances...
What an incredible segue!
That's that. Our second film of the evening is Quarantine 2, Terminal.
Which has a double entendre in the... a clever double meaning.
Yeah. So, okay. As the first movie is unfolding, a handful of people are boarding a red-eye flight out of Los Angeles. It looks to be an uneventful flight until a passenger is bitten by someone else's carry-on and he contracts the deadly virus. The plane makes an emergency landing and things go from bad to worse when the surviving passengers and crew realize they've been locked in the terminal. Now they, like that building in L.A., are under quarantine. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, 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 dun. All right, I have a question for you.
Okay.
All right.
I have an answer.
I know you do. It may not be the answer I want, but you do have an answer.
Yeah.
My question for you is, did some producer have access to, like, an actual defunct airplane terminal? And they're like... Oh, well, we should make a movie here. What can we make a movie about? And then, you know, someone said, oh, we'll make a sequel to that movie, Quarantine.
Probably.
Because that seems like the only explanation for
the
bizarre choices of characters in this movie. Specifically, like, I honestly thought, even though it was called Terminal, I assumed they were going to get locked in the plane because that's the only logical thing a quarantine people would do in that situation. But then that doesn't happen.
Yeah, well, because the movie begins, I'm like, oh, okay, it's going to take place in this little airplane. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then, so, like, the first 10 or so minutes of the movie are actually pretty good.
Oh, I really liked the opening of this movie.
And then it sort of quickly devolves into just complete nonsense. Yeah, so they're not locked in the plane. They're locked inside a terminal.
Yeah.
Well, really only one part of a terminal.
Yeah, the baggage area.
Baggage area. And they just run around like a bunch of assholes for an hour and a half.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It ties into the first movie. I'm just going to ruin it for everybody now. That the guy who created the virus in the first movie is in this film.
Yep.
And he's got he's developed a plague. And of course, the carriers are rats. And that's what bit the other dude on the airplane was a rat. And it's just like, I don't know, I thought the whole thing was kind of unnecessary.
Well, not only was it unnecessary, but the weird part is, and maybe I'm overthinking this, but the fact that they reveal that he's the bad guy 5 minutes into the movie,
yeah.
I think kind of hurts the overall effect of the movie. Because you know what's going on right away, because in no uncertain terms, a guy gets bitten by whatever he's got in a cage, and that guy gets turned into a super zombie, like, 1 minute later.
Like, yeah, so like, it strips all the drama from the beating.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, so... And the thing is, I kept expecting, and this is where, like, I thought it was pretty okayly written for the first section. And then I thought, oh, so does he not know that he's carrying the plague rats? Because if he knew he was carrying plague rats, and his intent was not to release them on this plane, which it wasn't... Why would he have them in a box with open sides? You know, like, why wouldn't he have put them in a closed off pet carrier and put it in the hold where it was safe? You know, or again, if he wanted to keep them with him, why would he have big open holes in the sides where you could accidentally get bitten, which for his purposes is the worst thing that could possibly happen?
I don't have an answer for that question.
Okay, so you didn't have an answer.
That was a lot of questions. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. Is it because it was poorly written? Is that the answer?
That is the answer. You're right. Oh. Yeah.
And now that really bothered me. And then you have like scene after scene of people knowing that people have this virus and not taking precautions, like not tying them, making any real effort to tie them down or be careful.
There's this one scene where the original, like the first victim, the fat guy, he attacks them all when they're inside the terminal. This is after they've gone off the airplane, obviously.
Yeah.
And then they all work together to kill him in a really horrible way.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, they're going to kill this guy, and then they're going to have a moment to realize what they've done and how they're all culpable in this guy's death, even though it was self-defense and blah, blah, blah. We're going to have this really awkward moment.
Yeah.
And they skated right over that.
Everyone was really okay with it.
And just, it never comes up. Nobody talks about it. And yet, they continue to act like they don't have this immediate threat looming over their heads.
Yeah, and that's what bothered me the most. Like, well, no, because they actually see an old man in a wheelchair get bitten by a rat. Like, they see it happen. They know the rat bites are the problem, right?
Yeah. Oh, I felt really badly for that guy. That
oh, no, I feel bad for him, too. But my point is not that it was very sad for the guy who couldn't speak because he had Huntington's. What's really extra awful is that they in no way meaningfully tie him up. You know?
Well, they put him in a baggage cart.
Yeah, that's my point. They put him in a baggage cart, which is just easy enough for a super strong dude to push through.
Well, that hasn't even become an issue because the CDC or who it was, not actually the CDC, but they call them that, they come in and they order everyone to take the guy out of the baggage cart.
Yeah, that's another, but I'm saying.
It's not even like, it doesn't even matter that they weren't thinking through.
I know, but my point was, had he been tied to his chair in the first place, then that the CDC's error wouldn't have been an issue. But you know what? I'm nitpicking the stupid things characters do in a poorly written movie. I don't, and yeah, that is to a certain extent what I do here. But you're right. I can let this one go.
You're taking it like too far this time though, because you're nitpicking something that didn't actually happen.
No, it happened. They didn't tie him to a chair the way any sane person would have.
No, but what I'm saying is you're nitpicking a potential event that didn't actually take place in the movie, because you're saying down the line when he turns into a killer, he's going to break out of that baggage compartment.
No, but my point is,
it happened because the movie interfered.
My problem was that he wasn't tied to the chair, which would have kept him from getting out of the chair and tearing someone's throat out, which is exactly what he does.
He would have been able to get out of the chair if he were tied down. He's a super strong super zombie.
I know, but he wouldn't have been able to get out of the chair instantaneously, and the guys from the CDC would have had a warning. Although I guess they weren't the CDC.
They should have. It's a terribly written film.
You're right. It is a terribly written film. So we'll move on to... Oh, and the one thing that really bothered me, and I know there's actually a lot of stuff that bothered me about this movie, so it was dishonest to phrase it that way, but the thing that really bugged me about this movie was that during the whole end sequence, it's supposed to be pitch black, and people are only supposed to be able to see through the night vision goggles that one character has.
Yeah.
But the filmmaker, who's the writer-director, does not have the guts to go through with that, and is constantly showing us everything, just everything is really adequately lit. And that really bugged me. And I'm like, no, go through with it. Shoot the whole thing through the night vision goggles.
Yeah.
You know, don't keep cutting away from the night vision goggles where everything is super adequately lit.
Yeah.
That just bugged the hell out of me. And I think you understand.
The night vision bugged me because I thought it was shitty night vision.
Oh, it was terrible night vision. I'm not saying the night vision was good. It was a weird... Well, because the thing is, it wasn't technically night vision. It was like heat vision the way army snipers use or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's all black and it's all like gray background with white wherever there's a heat source.
Yeah.
And supposedly can see through walls and blah, 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 blah. But the point is, like, yeah, it could have looked better. But what bothered me was that they didn't stick to it. And you see, like, given the film's premise, they really should have stuck to it. You can at least agree with me on that one.
Yeah, they should have.
Rather than constantly cutting away to a adequately well-lit tunnel.
Well, no, I'm saying maybe they didn't stick to it because they knew it looked terrible.
Maybe. Well, I'm just saying the adequately lit tunnel didn't look a lot better.
Nothing looked good in this movie.
Not true. And honestly, but yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, from the point of view of the CDC, keep them in the plane. A plane by its, like, you're trying to deal with a quarantine, and a plane, by the definition that it flies high in the atmosphere, is airtight. So that is the optimum location to keep them.
No, but they tried to, and the pilot just drove up to the gate anyway.
Oh, no, but what I'm saying is there should have been cops.
On the ground was... Poorly.
Oh, no, but because they knew they were coming, right, they had ample time to get all the security in that airport by the plane to make sure they didn't open. Like, just, for the love of God, park a truck in front of the plane. It's not going anywhere.
I know. And it's, given where they land, it's not like there's lack of security.
The twist at the end is that they're in Las Vegas so that the next movie can take place at a casino.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, the guy who produced this movie had access to, like, both a defunct casino and a defunct airport, and he's like, how can I make two movies? How can I get two movies out of it?
There's a defunct casino in Las Vegas.
I know, but there, you know what? There might be one in Little Rock, but it's not as much of an impact to say it crashed in Little Rock. Okay. Do we have a lot more to say about Quarantine 2, or...
No.
Can we just say props to them for making a sequel to a remake that was not a sequel of the, that was not a remake of the sequel? Is that too?
We can say that.
If nothing else, I'm glad they went in a completely different direction than Wreck 2. Because from what I've heard, again, we haven't seen Quarantine, but from what I've heard, Quarantine is a shot for shot remake of Wreck.
Well, it has an entirely different origin story for the virus, though.
Yeah, no, but I mean, but the origin story for the virus... What's that?
I hate it.
Oh, okay.
I hate that it's biological warfare.
Yeah, rather than Satanism. I know. But, but the origin of the virus only comes up in the last minute of the movie, and it's literally someone looking at a wall of papers and telling us what the origin of the virus is. So, to change that does not change the rest of the film being a shot-for-shot remake. And as I understand it, and based on the fact that the poster for Quarantine is the last shot of the movie Wreck, I'm going to go on a limb and suggest that the rest of the movie is a shot-for-shot remake. Again, I can't confirm that. But I got to say, because I found the idea that it was a shot-for-shot remake so contemptible, I do respect them going a completely different direction with Quarantine 2 than Wreck did with Wreck 2. So, bravo.
I didn't even give it that much thought.
Okay. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. Who knows?
Yeah. Or, I mean, I could be just too dismissive of Quarantine, too.
No, it's. I think you're right to be dismissive of Quarantine.
I am the right amount of dismissive.
You're the correct amount of dismissive of this movie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right. So, let's move on to our final, and let's face it, most important film of the evening. A film, and the point is, I'd heard of Grizzly. I'd heard of Quarantine. But the movie that we're reviewing now, I didn't hear about the first one. So,
well, that's because it doesn't exist.
What?
I found out. Our final movie of the evening is Paranoid Activity 2. There is no movie called Paranoid Activity. This is a sequel to a film that doesn't even exist.
Oh my, that makes me so happy. So literally, they wanted to do a ripoff of Paranormal Activity. And they're like, no, we won't confuse people in the video store if it's called Paranoid Activity, because Paranormal Activity came out a year ago. So we're going to call it Paranoid Activity 2, to hopes of confusing them into thinking it's Paranormal Activity 2.
Well, what I think they're doing is they're capitalizing on both Paranormal Activity and... I think The Asylum.
Paranormal Entity?
Paranormal Entity.
Okay.
Because Asylum, of course, is trying to trade on big name blockbusters.
Yeah.
And so I think this movie is trying to trade on Asylum, which is trying to trade on an actual real movie.
Wow, that's really sad.
Anyway, okay, Paranoid Activity 2. I am going to read to you the synopsis from IMDb because I was unable to come up with my own synopsis for this movie.
Well, you did, and it's your blog post.
Yeah, and I don't want to read that.
No, no, you're not going to read your blog post, because then why would people go to Zombots?
So here we go. This is straight from IMDb. Three college friends move into a small rental house in the middle of a cold and dark Alaskan winter. During a housewarming party, a psychic medium calls forth a ghostly presence that increasingly becomes hostile towards the three. With very few options on the table, they must decide to confront the hostile presence or die. This is not the synopsis for Paranoid Activity 2. Not really. It takes place in Alaska, yes. Not shot in the winter time. Why would you set your movie in the winter if you didn't shoot during the winter?
Well, I'll tell that story in a minute, but anyway.
And yes, a psychic comes to a housewarming party that these three friends are throwing. He doesn't bring forth a ghostly presence. He just tells two of the three roommates that there's evil in the house and it has attached itself to the two girls.
Yeah.
And he says to them that they can't leave the house. And he can do this sort of cleansing ritual, which will cost another $100. And they politely refuse. And shortly after that, begin to experience some weird sort of poltergeist activity in their kitchen. They refuse to sleep in their bedroom, so they're all sleeping in the living room. And this goes on for days.
I would say weeks.
And none of, like, it doesn't occur to anybody that only two of them are cursed. The third person can come and go as he pleases. They never bother to film the activity taking place in their kitchen, so we don't actually know what's going on.
Which, by the way, is the funniest.
They don't have, like, jobs to go to. One of them's a fucking nurse. You would think that she'd be, her absence would be noticed.
Yep. But I have a question. And I think you'll be happy to answer this question because you're a decent person. Who gets out of college and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to move to Barrow, Alaska, the northernmost city on Earth.
Possibly they went to college in Alaska.
There are no colleges near Barrow, Alaska.
No, they might be from Barrow.
They're not from Barrow. One of them is Russian. Another one is black. And the third one...
What movie were you watching?
The guy was black.
I thought he was Latino.
Either way. In fact, if he was Latino, it's less likely that he would live in Barrow, Alaska, which is, I believe... I mean, I'm guessing here, 80% Native? You know? Like 2,000 people live in Barrow, or 3,000 people, and they're basically all Native.
Maybe
it's the northernmost.
Maybe the guy, the writer, they spent 30 days a night.
Well, of course he was, because that was his excuse for only having scenes. The only reason this is set in Barrow, Alaska, is so that it can be night all the time, so he can only be shooting at night. That's the only reason. It's not cold. You know, they don't seem to own winter clothing.
Well, they say at one point, people are arriving for their housewarming party commenting on how cold it is outside. There's no fucking snow on the ground.
Yeah,
half
not only
the
do they know.
Aren't wearing coats when they show up at the door.
Not wearing coats in a city that is below zero from October to like June. Nobody has a coat. You know?
No, you're right. There is no point for this movie to actually be set in Alaska.
Yeah. Like, the whole point that they can't leave, it's not like they're locked in by the cold. The fact that they can't leave is because they're afraid of a monster hurting them if they try to leave. That could have happened anywhere, and it doesn't have... It's like, it almost felt like, oh, no, dude, you can only use my house to film at night. Like, I'm only going to let you film at night because I got to do stuff during the day, okay? And, like, they had to come up with a plot reason for it to always be night outside. So, like, oh, hey, what if it's that town from 30 Days of Night? That'll make sense. Problem solved.
islands that get very little sunlight in the wintertime. It doesn't
I
have
know.
To be Barrow.
It did not have to be Barrow, and the fact that it was Barrow just made it so much stupider. What was already... It's like, I flat out could not believe that throughout this entire movie, you know, no one at any point, like, puts the camera in the kitchen. Like, it's worth it to this guy to spend 3 minutes of actual screen time tying string around doors to keep the ghost from being able to open cupboards. But he won't just let his camera sit there overnight. That's not worth his effort. He's like, hey, I'm going to try staying up all night. Spooky stuff only happens in the kitchen. But when I stay up all night to catch spooky stuff, I'm going to be sitting in the living room. What?
Nor do I think, just call the psychic back.
Why aren't you?
We're all convinced now
that the psychic was right.
There's something evil in your house. Call him back.
What? Why? Why didn't they just call him?
And then they lose cell phone service for some reason. Nobody comes around to check on them.
For weeks.
They do get a phone call at one point telling them, because at one point, one of the roommates decides to leave. She's had enough. She leaves. She dies. And they get a phone call saying that she's dead.
So their cell phone works in that scene.
And then after that, their cell phone service dies. It's like, nobody's called you in, like, again.
A week.
Presumably, you have jobs to go to. You have friends. Maybe your party really sucked. Nobody wants to see you after that.
I mean, their party did suck. I'm not going to claim that it didn't. But no, people should have been calling them. People should have been checking. It didn't make any sense.
It was just this movie. Although, there was one moment where I did jump. It got me.
Really?
Yes. When it's towards the end, you actually finally see the ghost. It appears out of nowhere.
Okay.
Like the sort of black, inky stuff.
I guess that was kind of creepy.
Comes out of the kitchen. That was really shocking.
I will give you that one.
I wasn't ready for that.
I mean, when this film has had absolutely nothing for the entire run of the film, for them to suddenly do a CGI, like from Lost, evil cloud. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
And this movie is 76 minutes long.
And by the way, there's a point in this movie, right, where they're like, look, the ghost has left a handprint on this glass door. And I'm like, wow. So now they can have the cops check the fingerprints and we can find out the terrifying identity of the ghost. Oh, no, wait. Nothing will happen about that? Oh, okay. Sorry. I thought something was finally going to happen in this movie. But instead, nothing continued to happen. My mistake.
The only thing this ghost ever does is just take all the plates out of the cabinet and put them on the floor.
It's just like they become the increasingly hostile ghost. No, the ghost is just pretty much a dick until they leave the house. Just a dick.
He just empties the cabinet.
Every night, he empties the cabinet, then they have to go put it all back in. Every single night.
And there's supposed to be some kind of backstory where someone died in the house.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be like the evil spirit of the person who died?
Maybe.
No.
We never hear the backstory.
I'm sorry. No. My answer to this movie is no.
That is the correct answer to this movie. The answer is no. Oh my god. Paranoid Activity 2? Like, I feel like I have to say it that way.
What I find most funniest about this whole thing is that in an attempt to build a show of sequels to movies that we've never seen, this is what we came up with. A film that was never finished. A sequel to a film that doesn't exist, and then Quarantine 2?
Well, I think the real indictment here is us for watching too many movies. It was really hard to find a movie because we briefly considered doing movies that have had long series, but we saw the first one. My point is that, you know, yeah, I haven't seen Leprechaun 2, so jumping into Leprechaun 3 and 4 would be fun, but, you know, that's not the same. We wanted to go in completely clean, and there's almost no films for which we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, because there's plenty of films we haven't seen, but if it's any, if it's good enough or memorable enough to have a sequel, we've probably seen it.
Yeah, well, just between the two of us.
Exactly. Cool. Although, you know, if we ever do this again, I did think of one after we'd already picked the movies.
Uh-huh.
I've never seen It's Alive.
Oh.
So we.
Me neither.
Or Basket Case.
Isn't It's Alive 2?
There is.
There's a Basket Case 2?
I don't know if there's a Basket Case 2. I think there's a Basket Case 2.
Oh, Ghoulies 2.
I might have seen Ghoulies.
Oh, shit.
No, wait,
anyway.
No, sorry. I've seen Spookies. Different film. Very different film.
Okay, I think that's the end of our movie discussion.
Absolutely. Do you have any narcissism you want to watch?
Yes, well, I'm going to take this.
Actually, we both have narcissism.
I'm going to take this time to announce a new feature. This is on Zombies and on Castle Bargelon. We call Terrible Moments in Taglining, and the first one went up today. And what we're doing is we're just exposing terrible taglines from horror movie posters. This isn't a comment on the movies themselves.
Many of them are very good movies.
Just the taglines, just the copy on the poster.
Yeah. By the way, it can't be something they said in the trailer or anything like that. It has to be on the poster.
On the poster. That's so I encourage you to visit Zombot and Castle Bargelon for terrible moments in taglining.
We're very excited about it. And you know what? You're going to see some ones I think you didn't expect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be a shock, some of these. And at least one of them is a terrible tagline that, and I'm not spoiling what it is, but has made it into the cultural lexicon non-ironically. Like, people don't think of this as a terrible tagline, but it really is. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
I also have a review up for Paranoid Activity 2.
In an amazing coincidence, I have also written up a thing for Paranoid Activity 2. Yours was focused around just a day planner. Mine was focused on the fact that the main character claims to be a documentary filmmaker, but it is unclear what, if anything, he was going to make a documentary film about in Barrow, Alaska. So,
he also spent 5 years getting an associate's degree. I just want to throw that out there.
Well, yes, he is a stupid character. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I do still question why. Oh, and by the way, just one last comment about that movie. Someone's like, it's an old house, you know? I'm sure people have died in it. I'm like, that is the least old house I've ever seen. That is a brand new house. Did you see the floors in that house?
Yes, but we're not talking about the movie now.
Honestly, the reason it was entirely filmed at night and they weren't allowed to go into the bedrooms might be because it was a show home for people selling a condo development. That's how new this house was. But you know what? That's a conversation for another time, and that time is 5 minutes ago. So, do we have any poll results, Dive Mistress?
Yes, we do. Okay, last week's poll question was, can a good director elevate a bad script? Most of you think so.
Well, we did last week.
Did we?
Yeah, John Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
That was the whole point of last
week. It wasn't terrible. I mean, I've seen, like, if it's a real stinker.
It would be hard, yeah.
I think it would be a lot, yeah. It'd be a lot of work. Anyway, be sure to stop by the AVOD's blog at theavod.blogspot.com to vote in this week's poll. I don't know what it is because I haven't written it yet. But it's going to be great? No.
Adequate?
Adequate. Passable.
I definitely think it's going to be passable.
Yeah.
No way it's not passable. All right.
And send us an email at theavod@gmail.com on how we can improve our crappy sound quality.
Absolutely. Please do that. So until next time, I'm Cam Vargelon of Vargelon.com.
I'm the Dive Mistress of Zombots.net. I don't even know my own address.
No, some bastard bought Zombots.com before I could get it. Sons of bitches. All right. Until next time, have yourselves a great evening.
Good night.